everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, which is typically your tribute to comics and pop culture, but today we are doing things a little bit differently. Jack and Jake are not in the studio here with me today. Instead, I have welcomed back to the show a good friend of the show, actually, host of the PVD cast, Mr. John Orlando. John, thanks so much for being here with me today.
Well, thank you for having me, Jeremy. I'm very excited to be on this episode. I'm sure the listeners have already read the show title. They know it's about podcasting. It's how to podcast.
How to podcast.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here.
John and we have about the collective 10, 11 years experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we'd be considered pros, but we definitely have cut our teeth, and I think we know what we're doing to some extent here. So, you know, a lot of the free stuff out there on how to start a podcast on YouTube and on iTunes, stuff like is more business-oriented,
right.
I guess, like
right.
marketing podcasts or mm-hmm. how to grow your business or this and that, which is fine. And maybe if that's what you want to do, this isn't the right podcast for you. But we're just trying to take this from a guy at home, just with, you know, maybe a few coins in his pocket who wants to start a podcast.
Okay.
Well, you know.
A few Bitcoins or.
I didn't have any money to put into this when I started. I just happened to have some equipment. So that was mm-hmm. how it worked for me. But anyway, we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But before we do that, John, you want to give a quick intro about who
sure.
you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm John Orlando. I'm the creator of the PVD cast. It's my own personal podcast. It's available at pvdcast.com and iTunes, Stitcher Radio, you know, all the podcast places that you normally go to find great podcasts. Mine is in there somewhere. You sometimes have to put PVDcast and then put my name, John Orlando, sometimes to find them, but it's there. Guaranteed it's there. I've been doing this for almost 6 years. In December will be 6 years. I enjoy having guests on. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy entertaining people. And so when the opportunity presented itself, as Jeremy told me, I think back in March or February.
It's been a long time, a while ago.
That you wanted to do this, I jumped at the chance because, much like you, mm-hmm. when I started doing this, I had no clue. I had no
sure.
idea what the hell I was doing. And
you can guarantee that if we were in that boat, there's a lot more
yep.
people in that boat.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. But yeah, and for the people who are listening to this episode who maybe aren't normally a Canned Air listener, I am Jeremy Colley. I am the moderator and one of the hosts of the Canned Air podcast, a tribute to comics and pop culture. And we've been podding for about 5 years now, talking about just that, comics, pop culture. Every week we welcome a new guest on the show, whether it be a comic artist or writer or even screen and voice actors. It's been really cool. We've got to meet a lot of our heroes over the years. Turned out to weigh more than we ever expected. And we're actually starting a new show called What If that's we're hoping to launch on our 5-year anniversary of Canned Air that actually inspired this. Because, you know, I've been pulling up those old videos, those old podcasts that I was seeking out when I first started to mm-hmm. maybe just to clear out some of the cobwebs, maybe see if I could interpret it a little bit better, you know, being 5 years in. So I thought this would be a good aid, not only to each of us, we might learn from each other here today, but to our listeners as well.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, by no means do we know everything that there is to know about podcasting, but again, it's a great place to start, a stepping stone, if you want to call it that,
yeah.
to getting started. If you were somebody out there listening like Jeremy and I were oh so many years ago when we started, you know, you might say, hey, I want to do this. And to me, I think that's the very first step. You got to want to do this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that actually plays right into number one. If you want to be a podcaster, you have to realize off the bat, you know, you get what you give out of this field. You know, if you put a lot of hard work into it, you'll see a payoff. But if this is something you record kind of half-heartedly, throw online and never follow up with, you're not going to get anything out of
no.
it, you know? So if you want to be a successful podcaster, John, I mean, you're exactly right. You have to want to do this, and you have to accept the fact that you're going to have to put some hours and some work into
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that my very first thing, and I know we're going to talk about, of course, show content.
Sure.
But I think when you decide to do a podcast, you have to plan things out. I really believe that this is a
yeah.
great medium with very few rules, but I think it goes so much smoother for you if you take a few moments and plan out things. Like, for an example, tomorrow I'm going to record a mini episode, as I like to call it, because
sure.
it's just myself. There's no guests. It'll be about 15, 20 minutes in length. I'll take a scrap sheet of paper and just jot out my itinerary. I don't type up anything fancy or a script like that, but I just jot out, what am I going to talk about? Touch on this. And then I just kind of, you know, I roll with it. I roll with the flow.
Right.
But still, that 10 minutes of planning
saved you
hours of frustration or trying to figure things out.
Sure. And I mean, that's going to apply, you know, all through your podcasting
exactly.
career, you know, from beginning to end.
Yeah.
You know, when we started Canned Air, that's not the attitude we had. We just kind of were throwing it out there, and we lost a lot of opportunities, you know, benefits that we would have had to our advantage we didn't know about because we just weren't really paying mm-hmm. attention. We weren't taking it serious as we do now. So, I agree with John. You definitely want to plan stuff out. One thing I want to touch on first, like John also said, show content.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to start. You really want to establish what your show is going to be about. Now, when I'm sitting here telling people you want to try to be as unique as possible, and I have a comics and pop culture podcast. Who am I to tell anybody that, John? I'm nobody. But, you know, what we did with our format, we realized we're a little tiny, you know, rowboat in an ocean of similar podcasts. Try to make ourselves at least sound as different as possible. In our case, you know, we put, you know, kind of like 8-bitty cool music, nerd sound and music behind the nerd conversation. Try to introduce new and original segments that you don't hear everywhere. So has that helped us? I can't say really one way or the other. I don't know what other comic podcast downloads look like, but be as unique as possible, even if you're in a field that is oversaturated.
And I think this is a problem that I still struggle with, you know, going on 6 years mm-hmm. because I was determined, again, as I said, with the few rules that you have placed on you in this medium, mm-hmm. was that I was going to make this my own personal podcast. So I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. And I think that does make me stand out, but I also think it has its limitations, too.
You're absolutely right about that. That's such a good thing to bring up. I'm glad you did, because you be aware if you are a niche kind of podcast like John and I are. John, I have to say you're more niche than we are. You're taking what we do, and I hope you don't take that wrong.
No, I don't think that is. No, that's not an insult. But you're right. You're absolutely right, because I'm dealing with wrestling, movies, hockey, and comic books.
Right.
How unique are those?
So topics? Grabbing... I don't know. You could look at it from two different ways. I mean, could seem like a fishing net out just trying to catch everybody in like a con genre. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, it's I think your work at getting a new audience is probably a little bit harder than mine, I would think.
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. It is.
Not that mine's easy by any means.
No.
Because again, we're in an oversaturated market, so we have to do everything we can to stand out. And that's another thing I wanted to say is that on top of, you know, choosing your topic and being unique, you want to offer something to your listener. You want your listener to walk away with something. I think in our case, we want them to walk away with a smile on their face. You know, they just heard some funny jokes or they, you know, we heard people talk about the things they love in light that they hadn't thought of before. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you.
Well, you know, I think that, and I'm going to also throw it out there too, that I'm pretty independent. I'm an independent spirit, and that's why I do enjoy having independent comic book creators or independent filmmakers or people in the independent wrestling scene, you know, come on and talk, because these are the people that are down in the trenches, so to speak. They're not the comic book creators that are making millions of dollars off of their great property that
right.
they've created, and
sure.
you know, Hollywood's beating down the doors. It's the guy or the girl that wanted to be the next Hulk Hogan that is working the bingo halls and the high school gyms in Ohio or Indiana or whatnot, wanting to move on up. You know, and so for me, I think that I've kind of embraced that, and I've always, not to get off on a tangent, but I've always had that independent kind of streak in me,
mm-hmm.
Where I felt like the independent ideas are what drive America. That's what makes us a great nation. Not to sound cheesy,
I see. So that's your offering to the audience.
That's my offering.
Independent view to what typically has like a very one site view, I guess, into.
Yeah, like a corporate site, kind of.
Yes,
Not, but not using corporate in the sense that we normally do. But yeah, that's exactly where I think that, you know, that's a further niche, though. I think that's a further mm-hmm. niche to kind of make me struggle to find new audience members.
Sure.
But, you know, and again, it just goes back to that. You got to think of a plan. Sometimes you have to fix that plan. You have to adapt that plan. Sometimes you throw that plan out and start all over again.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? But so, as John, you know, just gave you an example of there being a niche podcast can sometimes work against you.
Yeah.
And so if you're someone out there who's like, say, I want to do a politics podcast, I want to bash Trump, I want to talk true crime, by God, you don't have to probably do a lot of work to get downloads in that field. I know a lot of podcasts in those genres just rake in downloads. There's one in particular who I'm not going to mention. They talk crime. They've researched. And when I listen to it, I'm like, these guys are bringing nothing to the table. They're not offering like even their own opinions on it. They're pretty much just reading what they find on the internet and putting kind of like suspicious CSI kind of sounding music behind it and get tons of downloads, have tons of subscribers, have tons and tons of like comments and people just raving because it's true crime. You know, it's what's in right now.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that's something to be aware of if you're starting a podcast, that there's going to be those trends.
Yes.
You know, just like in any field of media or any field of entertainment, you're going to have ups and downs.
Right.
You know, and that's
you're always going to have competition. So I guess just to kind of put a bow on the choosing your show content, what your show is going to be about, just be aware of what's out there, what's popular, what's around. And just be aware that if, you know, you go on like a more like the path that John and I have chose, you're going to have a harder time getting downloads. And I'm not saying that you've, you know, creating some hollow politics podcast just to get downloads. Just be aware of where your genre lies and adapt.
And if I may add in one other thing, be passionate about what topic you pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that eliminates that hollowness that you may have if you create a politics podcast. You know, if you are an avid fan of politics, do that. That's great.
Exactly.
But if you're like me, you love pro wrestling and you love comic books.
I just offered those as an example.
No, I get you. Yeah. We're not bashing political podcasts.
Right. Or I'm not even trying to push people in that direction. Saying, well, if you want downloads, this is what you need to do. I'm offering two different ends of the spectrum. You know, us being the bottom end, I guess. Anyway, another thing I wanted to mention, and this can be one of my biggest pet peeves when I'm listening to podcasts, are co-hosts. That's one thing I think that we've always got right on Canned Air is our co-host rapport. We've always kept it pretty good. We don't bring our inside jokes to the table. We keep the audience in mind. One thing that I just can't stress enough, be aware of if you do have, you know, another person or another two people at the table with you, which I don't really recommend more than two. I mean, when you get five people around the mic and you're like, and you don't know who they are, you're like, who the hell's who? What? Who's who? You get lost in the shuffle. It's like listening to The View. Are you going to listen to The View, John?
No.
Neither am I. But another thing that I dislike is when you get on either with two, you know, you're listening to a podcast with two people, maybe three people, and they open up, you know, trying to be funny, which, okay, I get that. You know, you gotta have some kind of opening monologue to your show, but then they just take it to like, oh, so yeah, Sarah the other day did this. Oh, that is so Sarah. Like, I don't know who Sarah is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to stick around to find out. I don't care. I'm here to, you know, see what you have labeled your podcast, what you titled your podcast, you know, rather, whatever it is. I'm not here to hear about your friends and your circle, you know.
And I think I'm guilty of that sometimes. You know, I will say that I've had some recurring guests come on to help out with various different topics. And I think at times it's very easy to do that. And sometimes I don't even recognize.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up. And I think that might be here. I'm learning right now from you. Maybe that's something I need to be more conscientious about.
And that's something I mentioned earlier, I want us to learn, take from each other's experiences here as well. But, and I've even seen memes about that online. Like somebody was at a McDonald's sitting in front of a poster that had three people sitting and laughing while they're eating. And it said, listening to a podcast be like this, you know, and I had to laugh, but at the same time, I kind of get it. So, you know, you want to make it about the audience.
Yeah.
Don't forget your audience is there. They don't care about your friend Sarah. They don't care about what you did last night, what you had for dinner, unless that's what your show's about. If you said, the what I had for dinner last night show, that's why they're there then. Talk about what you had for dinner.
Right.
But don't call it what I had for dinner last night and then talk about Sarah's silly antics. I don't know why I keep going to the name Sarah here.
Yeah.
I could say Bill, too, or Bob, or whoever. I'm just using that name as an example. Anyway.
You want to make sure you don't offend all the Sarahs out there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Another thing I wanted to say while we're on the show content. Well, I guess I got a few more things here to say. Be honest with yourself and your content. I heard Neil Young say something years ago on a talk show that he said, never, ever settle for something. If you're not happy with it, try again. And I've always carried that with me when doing the podcast. You know, some stuff has gone out I've not been happy with, but I have to put it out either because I'm on time constraints or whatever it is. But if I can change it, you know, I change it. Don't settle for second best. Make it the best product you can put out there. Mm-hmm. It will make a difference. I always go back to this on canned air, but like when Walt Disney was building Walt Disney World, you know, like specific doorknobs he wanted on some of the doors down that main street were out. They couldn't get. They were sold out. And the construction guys were like, well, we'll just get these other ones. And Disney's like, no, you know, we will get these. You know, they may not notice right away, but they will pay us back. They will notice the every little detail. And the same way goes for sound. You know, when you don't have a visual to go with the podcast, I guess some podcasts do. Some podcasts are on YouTube. But if you're an audio-only podcast and there is no visual for your audience, that much more attention is being paid to the audio. Mm-hmm. So make it as good as you can. Don't settle for half-baked,
you know, type of audio. Yeah.
Don't settle for crappy audio or crappy content at that. If you think you said something you didn't like, but well, just put it out there, change it, you know, make it good. If you like it, then there's going to be someone out there that likes it. Right.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that.
As far as like, you know, when you're showing yourself to the world, cover art goes a long, long way. And this is somewhere where Canned Air really dropped the ball. See, when we got started, if you've seen our background, what used to be was just a shot of deep space with our can floating there, the Canned Air can. And it says Canned Air, a tribute to comics and pop culture, which we've had for, you know, years now and we love. But knowing what we know now and looking back at our launch, that was a huge mistake, because when somebody is looking for something new to listen to and they see a cover art that has space in a can floating, it does not say pop culture. It does not say comics. It says keep scrolling. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So make your cover art not only flashy, but make it in a quick glance. Tell your listener, tell the audience what they're going to get out of this show. So, you know, we went back then after we thought about that and we redid the cover art that you see on iTunes. Now it shows a TV with comics and a video game controller, movies, all kinds of things that we talk about falling out of it. You get one look at that and now you know, okay, that's what these guys talk about. Comics, video games, movies. So I can't recommend that enough.
And I agree with that. And you know what? I would like to say that when it came to the logo for the PVD cast, that I put a lot of thought and effort into it, much like you guys did.
Yeah,
but I didn't. I'll be honest with you, 100%. And this is, I guess, maybe when you look at the content, and we'll probably talk about this here later on. When you make a podcast, make connections with people that can help you. You know, and
oh my God,
you know,
yes.
I'm going to say, you know, Anthony Battendorf, who wrestles as Juice Jennings, is a very talented graphic artist. And I talked to him. I said, look, man, I'm starting this podcast. I need a logo. And he goes, okay, well, what do you need? I said, dude, I don't know. I said, I really don't know. I said, this is what I want to do is I'm naming it after Providence, Rhode Island, because that's, you know, second home. That's not home number two. I won't get into that story, but it's my second home. It's going to be about comics, wrestling, hockey, and movies. And I think it would be kind of cool to have like a family crest. And Anthony was like, okay, I'll start working up stuff. He shot me two ideas and that was the second one. And I, you know, you have the postcard up there on the wall. And I was like, damn, That's it, man. I mean, you don't have to do anything else. Let's just make sure we put that in color because it has all those things, you know. It has, and again,
that's just it.
And that was just dumb sheer luck, man. I'm just going to be 100% honest. And mad props to Anthony. Thank you for doing that, dude. I have told you that a million times, and I'm saying it one more time publicly. Thank you very much.
But to our listeners, I mean, to what John's getting at here is his logo, his cover art. You know, like he said, his show is about wrestling, hockey, comics, movies. And when you look at that cover art, all those things are represented. Mm-hmm. So at a glance, you mm-hmm. know what you're getting out of that podcast. Mm-hmm. Not a cannon floating in space.
right. I also look at it, too, because it's like a family crest that people might be confused by it, too. And might, you know, well, I need to research this further. Is this a guy's actual... like family crest? What the hell is that? You know what I mean?
It offers intrigue.
It offers intrigue, yes.
There you go. No, I get it. And another thing, you know, when you're planning what you're going to be doing, when you're planning what your show cover art's going to look like, be thinking about what genres you're going to fall into. You know, I would recommend getting on iTunes and just searching by genre and see what genres list. And, you know, as honest as you can, pick two or three that represent you. And, you know, I've heard different things here. I've heard stick to those genres in iTunes and all other formats. And I've also heard switch it up, you know, like say in iTunes, like in our case, we're listed as a pop culture show. I don't even know that's a genre, but we'll say what would be the closest thing to that? I can't even think.
I'm trying to think as to what those categories. I think I am in arts, sports.
Okay.
And
perfect example.
Yeah, I can't remember what the other one is.
We'll just say arts. We're listed in arts on iTunes, and then comedy. Let's say on iHeartRadio. That mm-hmm. way, you have different people searching different genres at different locations. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's. I don't know. I couldn't recommend one way or the other on that, but I think either way you're going to probably see some payoff as long as, again, you are true to what, you know, genres you pick, that mm-hmm. they represent what you're doing. All right. So with that, let's move into equipment. As far as what to use when you're recording, hardware, I've been a musician for years now, and I slowly was piecing together this home studio so I could record music at home, which I can do. But, you know, all the friends that I was making music with, you know, life kind of got in the way, and I had all this equipment, nothing to do with. So it kind of worked out for me that it was already here. But if you don't have all this equipment, you have a tool in your pocket right now or in your hand, or even that you're listening to this podcast on, that holds the power to create, release, and monitor a podcast. It's called a phone. I mean, if you're a smartphone owner, you can definitely record and release podcasts. Now, the quality I can't attest to. You know, I mean, if you're just talking into the phone, I can't say what kind of quality that's going to give you. I know, like, iPhone has GarageBand for iPhone, so you can edit stuff in there. I've mm-hmm. never personally used it, but I know it's possible to totally record and manage an entire podcast on your phone. So don't feel like you have to have a mixer. You need all these expensive mics or you need a big computer, because you don't. You can do it on a slight budget with what you have right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That was the thing that I have down here in my notes for Steps to Podcasting is you should do an inventory of what you have. You know, mm-hmm. and when I mean an inventory of that, I mean, what equipment do you already have?
Sure.
You know, what... money do you have that you can spend? And mm-hmm. and I have here access to guest or help, you know, because those are the three most critical things you need to have to start a podcast.
Sure. Exactly. And I agree with you. And I want to, at the end of the episode, you know, and even now, implore our listeners, you know, if you have questions about anything we're saying here today, if we got something wrong, if there's something we forgot, please reach out to us, let us know, or ask those questions. We want this to start an open conversation. We want just to make this community, you know, a community of people who are learning off of mm-hmm. each other. Mm-hmm. You know, John and I have learned a ton from each
yes.
other.
Yes,
so,
we have.
You know, bringing other people in can only improve the knowledge levels or the knowledge income. I don't know.
Well, and I think real quick, going back to equipment, I think this is where you and I are going to have two different viewpoints. You use Apple products. I'm a PC guy.
But I'm glad. I want both sides of the coin here.
Right.
So with you use Audacity, something I wanted to tell everyone about, because most people have a computer. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to buy recording software, which I can't even really think of one for PC to recommend that you would pay for, just download Audacity. It's a free service, correct?
Yes, it is free. free. It is very user-friendly. And if you have problems, like I have, like I wanted to find out how to make my audio sound better. There are a lot of really good and incredibly short YouTube videos out there on how to work with Audacity. Like, I've learned so many things on what, you know, if something doesn't sound right, how can I get the levels just in, you know, like for an example, just in these 30 seconds, how can I get those levels to sound just a little bit crisper?
Sure.
You know, type in YouTube, Audacity, 30 seconds, you know, and you'll get tons of videos that help me out tremendously. And when I say they're not tremendously long, like, to me, I can't sit through a 20-minute video to show me how to use Audacity. Like, right. No, I don't have time. You know, I need 2, 3, 4 minutes. Brass tacks, get it down. Show me what I need to do so I can move on. Because half the time, I'm editing a podcast as I'm looking this stuff up.
Right.
So, I can't recommend Audacity enough. There are some people that will tell you, it's unstable. It crashes all the time. I've never had it ever crash on me. Ever.
I can tell you that a lot of the time when it's crashing, I know at least in my case, I'm a Mac owner and I use GarageBand to record my podcast. And in my case, when it crashes, it's a result of the disc not being able to move fast enough to keep up with the audio incoming, you know?
Yeah.
So I had to put a bigger hard drive in my computer to make that not an issue anymore. But, and you know, I think the Skype kind of gets a bad rep because, you know, people lose calls all the time. And I always hear people going, oh, well, that's Skype, use this, use that. I don't think it's Skype. And I don't think it's Audacity. You know, I think it's probably the speed of your computer. I'm not, again, a genius on this stuff, but I've been working with sound for a long time. And I know in my experiences, whenever the computer or the program rather crashes, it's typically because I need to like reset my mixer or I need to restart my computer or I need to get a faster drive in it or, you know, something to.
Yeah.
A computer writing sound, that's a lot of information to be writing, you know, as it comes in.
Well, I can't recommend Audacity enough for PC users out there. It's a free download. It's very user-friendly. And again, as I'm repeating myself, there's lots of help for you out there, too.
Right. And GarageBand, I believe, comes standard on Macs if you have a Mac. If not, I think you can either download it for... You used to be able to download it for free. If not, I think it's like $15, which is really nothing. But my God, it's such an aid. You know, not only does it have a ton of pre-made like loops and sound effects and stinger like tones and stinger music you can use, but you can like say, you know, I've harvested a bunch of sound effects that I use in the show offline and I can actually put them into GarageBand. So when I pull up the GarageBand archives, all my things I always use are already in there and just pull them in. So it's convenient. But again, it's a free program. I didn't have to go buy Pro Tools, which is freaking expensive. But in a lot of these big, you know, radio sponsored podcasts use Pro Tools, but they use Pro Tools because they're radio sponsored. We are not.
Right.
You know? So you have to use what you can get your hands on, I guess. But what about microphones? I think is another thing to touch on. In my case, again, I have a bunch of condenser like microphones. I guess they'd be called Omnimics. There's only one mic like pointed straight ahead in there, but they pick up, you know, everything around it. Obviously being right in front of it's going to get the best result. But if I got behind it, like right over here, you're still going to be able to hear it a little bit.
Right. I think that when I first started, I had some crappy VTech headset microphone thing because I didn't know any better.
Right.
$16 at Walmart.
Right.
Oh, that's what I need. You know? Then I found out I couldn't have guests on because I didn't have a sound card that had like a splitter amp or a splitter to it so you could separate out tracks. So that became problematic. So I then moved on because I did a lot of research. Again, nobody told me, don't go with that shitty VTech mic.
Right.
Nobody told me that. I found Blue Snow Globe. Snowball mic. And I found that that bad boy here at a local store. It was on sale. It was $60.
Oh,
it was
marked
down. Yeah. And, you know, the reason why it was marked down, because it was a white with chrome instead of black with chrome. And I'm like, I don't care what color it is. It could be hot pink. I don't care.
Right.
$60. And I started using that and then moved up to getting a Yeti mic from Blue that I use right now as well for different applications. You know, I would eventually like to have a setup like you have here, you know, sure. with the more professional Omni mics. But for right now, you know, again, going back to what does your budget allow you to do? You know, right. for this podcast. And at the time, $60 was great. And then last summer, I was like, yep, we need that Yeti mic so I can do more round table discussions. So I can, you know, because it has three mics inside of it. That was $125, to be honest. Sure. And I'm like, I can afford that right now. So, you know, again, as I said, when you think about the resources you have, do you have money to purchase some items? Because you're going to have to. I mean, not everything right. is going to be free. And so that was one of the things that I was comfortable at that time spending that money. And, you know, I think that, if I may, I'll give a plug to Blue Microphones. I'm happy with the two that I bought. They work really, really well. I think they give me really good sound quality. Mm-hmm. There are some drawbacks to them, you know. But overall, for me, I think I got the best bang for my buck.
I would say you definitely did. I mean, that's a great microphone at a great price for sure. You know, my setup here, I not to say that the mixer and what I'm doing here is outdated at all, but I personally feel like I'm using like a dinosaur setup here. You know, your microphone has a USB cord on it, just goes right to your computer, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, where I'm running into a mixer and then into the computer via USB. I mean, this is a USB mixer, so I mean, there's a middleman there. Mm-hmm. But anything this mixer offers, I think you can probably adjust maybe in your Audacity mm-hmm. as you're recording, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And yeah, these are really nice mics if you play them correctly. An Omnimic is not necessarily recommended for podcasting. And this is another one of those things that I found out years later. You know, the mic you're talking into, and I don't know about this one over here, but definitely the one you're talking into we had before, which is in a, what's it say, MXL on it?
Let me look real quick.
Somewhere. I think it's MXL.
MXL 90?
There you go.
Or 990.
Now, these are pretty standard mics. If you can go into like a Sam Ash or a Guitar Center or, you know, order up from Sweetwater, these things. And you can get them in a case. They come in a little case with not only that little can mic there, but then another smaller condenser mic, which I really haven't found any personal use for, especially not in podcasting. I think I used it like on miking acoustic guitars before. But anyway, the point is you get two microphones there for around $100 at Christmas. You can typically find them on sale for like $80. I'm talking into an Audio-Technica, which I think is more of like a cheaper end mm-hmm. microphone. This was like $125, but I mean, you can hear right now the quality. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty damn good microphone.
Yes, it is.
I love it. I would highly recommend it. It's actually funny. I went to a studio I record music at this past summer, and the guy at the studio was going on about how he offers podcasting services out to the general public now, people who want to record but don't want to, you know, go through all this.
Really?
They go to his studio, they pay him like $10 an hour, and they all sit down, and he just records everything they say. And he's like, yeah, I got a nice setup, and let me show you these really nice mics I picked up. And he brought out this exact microphone, and I felt like, yes, I'm on the right path, you know? But again, you don't have to put a lot of money in the microphone, and I think in a lot of podcasters' case, John's case is, what John's doing is more ideal, I think. The Snowball mic is much more mobile. Again, you don't have all the cords. You don't have the mixer. It goes straight in USB to the side of your laptop. Mm-hmm. You have a mobile studio, sir, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where I have to go buy some other whole recording device to have a mobile studio. So,
and that's something to consider, too. When you're planning out your podcast, you know, going back to the content, when you're planning it out, are you going to be mobile or are you not? And that was one of the things that when I first started, I had a tower. I had an old mm-hmm. desktop tower, and that's what I started podcasting on. And then I decided, well, you know what? And funny enough, I got a hand-me-down laptop from my stepfather. I'm not making this up. This was a hand-me-down, and I took it to my buddy who was an IT guy, and I'm like, look, is there enough space that I can run Audacity on this and record podcasts? Yeah, but that's about all you're going to do. Fine.
That's all you need to do.
That's all I need to do. Yeah. And man, oh man, that thing was archaic, and it was heavy as all get out. And eventually it started slowing down and the tower broke. And I said, you know what? I'm going to get a laptop. Because for me, I think, and this is something else you have to plan out and you have to consider. If you're going to have guests, you have to make your guests feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I email a guest and I say, hey, like to have you on the podcast, we can do this a couple different ways. Why I prefer to record things live. If you're not comfortable with that, we can do Skype or Google Hangouts, whatever. But if they say, yes, I'd love to do it live, you got to make them comfortable because do you want to go over to somebody's house that you've never met before that could be an axe murderer?
No.
You know? You don't. So for me, that was one of my things is I want to be able to be mobile. That I want to be able to meet. And you know, I make no bones about it. The Columbus Metropolitan Library is a great place here in town because they have rooms that you can check out for an hour or two. And it puts people at ease because we're like, hey, I'll meet you at the Whitehall branch at 6:30, you know. And therefore, you're in a public place. People are at ease.
You can't get murdered there.
No. No, you can't.
No, that is a great thing to bring up, though. You know, being mobile. You know, I've got like a little, what is it here? And a little Olympus, I guess, like personal recorder that people kind of take to like conferences and stuff to, you know, so they can re-listen to stuff later, lectures or whatever. But I tell you, it has a noise reducer in it and it has been pretty damn good. Mind you, it's not going to do as well as a directional mic and a portable, you know, on the go recorder, you know, made for such things. But, for what it is, it does a damn good job. And it gets audio that, you know, I've posted. I wouldn't post it if it was complete crap.
Right.
But a few things really quick I want to address before we move on here. One misconception I hear an awful lot, probably more so with singing than podcasting, but I have definitely heard it with podcasting, is the best place to record is in the bathroom. Have you ever heard that, John?
No, I have never heard that.
Everyone always says you get the best acoustics in the bathroom, and you're wrong. You're wrong. Remember, you and I did an episode. Well, you and the Canned Air podcast, rather, we did an episode that you were just referring to up at the Delaware Library.
Yes, yes.
It was just a glass box. It had nothing in it to absorb sound. So when we were in there talking, it was just sound bouncing all over the place. And the recording came out okay, but that room's also a lot bigger than a typical bathroom, I think.
Yes.
The bathroom recordings are, I know there's people with like confused look on their face. What's a bathroom recording? But I've been hearing this for years. Bathroom recordings are good if you're trying to get some reverb in like a singing voice, I guess.
Okay.
If you're recording your voice, you want there to be an echoey sound in it. I get that. That's what that's for. That's when the bathroom is a good thing. But that's not where you want to record anything for your podcast because it's going to be echoey. It's going to be unlistenable. People are going to know you're in the bathroom. They might assume you're on the toilet.
Nobody wants to hear a podcast while you're on the toilet. No. Unless that is your topic.
Unless that's what you called the show. Yes. My podcast on the toilet. Very good thing to bring up there, John. But quite the opposite. You want to pick the room that has the most, not necessarily the most padding, but at least has some padding, you know, like furniture, I guess, couches, chairs. You know, a bedroom would be a perfect place. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you know, we're in a spare bedroom here where we're recording and there aren't any big padded chairs or couches in here, but there are plenty of objects around the room to absorb sound and keep it from echoing. I remember some of the recordings from the first week we moved in here and we're recording. Boy, it's echoey really bad because there was nothing on the walls yet. There's no furniture in here. So not only choosing a room that offers those things, but depending on how picky you want to get with your sound, you know, if you want to cut out all background noise, first thing I would do is, and I've done before, is I'll get like a paper box, cut a side out of it, and just drape like a pretty heavy blanket on the inside of that. Kind of set your mic back into it and, you know, that record that way. That's going to catch and mute all sound that's coming in there. It's not going to really block stuff that's coming in from around you. So make sure you're like in a quiet area. But, you know, I've had people on the show say they're recording in the closet because it's the quietest place they could find. And if that's, you know, I don't know if you live with like 10 siblings or the babies running all over the place screaming or dogs barking, you're going to have to probably, you know, pull something out of your hat, maybe go up to the attic. I don't know where you're going to go, but find somewhere quiet. But yeah, to mute those recordings, those are some really inexpensive ways to cut out ambient noise. And another thing I can't recommend enough because I've, believe it or not, John, I've had people tell me, you don't need pop filters.
No, that's ridiculous.
Let me just prove to you, not that I need to prove to you, but let me prove to the listeners why you need a pop filter.
Prove to me, Jeremy. Prove to me.
So this is with pop filter. Peter Pan. Now, this is without pop filter. Peter Pan. Do you hear the P's? Here's the P with the pop filter. P without the pop filter.
Wow, that's a lot of Pop.
That's a lot of pop, isn't it? And that's a lot of stuff that your audience didn't want to listen to. I know when I hear that, I turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be able to deliver a good recording. So, yeah, you can record these podcasts on the cheap, or you can put some money into it. But no matter which way you do it, all these tools are as good as the person who knows how to use them. So,
and first of all, there's no excuse with pop filters because they're only like $8 on Amazon. Because I bought one for the Snow Globe, or excuse me, the Snowball mic. I don't know why I keep calling it Snow Globe, but Snowball mic.
Because it looks like a snow globe.
And that's why, yeah. ergo the name.
Sure, sure.
These things, I mean, they're not that expensive. They're like, I think I spent $8 and some change on a pop filter.
I can do you one better, John.
Uh-oh.
Let's say you don't have $8 and some change and you need a pop filter. This is how Canned Air started. We first went to Walmart and bought those little tiny, they look like they come out of a gumball machine, those little bubble things that pop open of women's hosiery.
Oh, okay.
You buy a couple of those.
Okay.
Get in your closet, get a wire coat hanger.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, bend the coat hanger into a circle. You drape that pantyhose over it, tie it off at the end. And those were our pop filters for the first probably good year of Canned Air.
Well, there
and
you
it works.
Go.
It works just as good as the store-bought ones here. You cannot argue with results, I tell you.
Wow. Okay. See, I
love... So there's a cheap at-home way for somebody to have a pop filter if you can't get out and buy one for any reason.
Should that be the hashtag for this episode? Hashtag pantyhose pop filter?
Maybe we'll just start a new show called Pantyhose Pop Filter and we'll just do our own thing, John. Okay, is there anything else as far as equipment's concerned that you want to cover before we move on?
No, I think we covered it all.
All right. Well, let's kind of, I guess we've already kind of touched on recording as well.
You know what? There's one thing about recording I would like to
mention.
Go
right ahead.
So we did talk about finding a quiet place, but as you and I talked off air, sometimes that's not an option. I mean, mm-hmm. You and I were at Wizard World this year, the big comic book convention in Columbus, Ohio.
Right,
and
right.
When you step up and start talking to these people, these stars that are there that want to, you know, have a little bit of an interview with you. You know, you have all the other, no matter where you go, you're going to get the noise. You're going to get that background noise. And that's something that you have to be aware of, that is going to come through on your particular
sure.
episode. And there are things you can do to make it better. Unless you have a multi-million dollar studio, I don't think you're going to eliminate all of that. And I think that that's something that you should be aware of. And to be honest with you and to the listeners, and I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. A lot of times I'll just be honest in my intro of the episode. Hey, I recorded this. At Wizard World.
Sure.
The audio might be a little hinky, you know, but it's my conversation with X or Y.
Right,
you know, and that it is what it is. This is the environment that I'm in.
It's funny. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it's if you have money to sink into it, there are cheap ways of having a mobile studio that
sure.
is highly effective. You know, again, I already mentioned my little tiny Olympus recorder there. It's not much. Again, just a little tiny personal recorder you take to like a lecture or something. And it does have a sound reduction on it. So at certain cons, I've gotten some good audio. But I played you like the audio with Jason Mewes. That was at a Hard Rock Cafe. You know, that audio, had it been any louder, I wouldn't have been able to use it. Because it was, there's no... There's nothing on there really cutting out all the background noise. Mm-hmm. Now, I know if you get a good directional mic, like a point mic, like mm-hmm. one that you, like, say you'd see on a stage, get a good directional mic and then get, I think Tascam makes them. I think this is what I'm looking at getting around $100, $125 again for a personal recorder that this mic can plug into.
Oh.
And, you know, I know another podcast that uses something like this. Mm-hmm. And it blew me away, the sound quality they had. Now, we were at the same convention they were recording, and they were their getup, same thing I just was telling you about, cut out almost all the background noise. You could hear maybe a few people talking in that general vicinity of the person they were interviewing, but that was it. That's the benefit of those directional mics. They pick up only what they're pointed at.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, the Blue Snowball is very much a directional one-way mic, and I've had a lot of success at different conventions or at different public places using that microphone, but you're absolutely right, you know, that you want to be careful about what microphones you're using in those type of situations.
Right, exactly. All right, well, let's jump right over then to hosting. We've covered our show image so far, what we're going to be about, what our cover art's going to look like, the kind of equipment we can use to record, and the different routes, whether it be Audacity, GarageBand, or even your iPhone to do such thing. Now that we have a podcast recorded, now what do we do with it? Well, we have to put it online. That's what we've got to do. So there's different ways you can do that. And again, kind of the way we started the segment with the equipment, I'm going to kind of list both ends of the spectrum here. You know, John and I are both, our podcasts are on Libsyn, which is everywhere I've heard, and from our personal experience, I can say the best bang for your buck. Yeah, this is going to cost you some money. Now, there are different tiers, and I think the lowest tier is like $5 a month, and that gives you only so much. I can't say how many gigabytes of storage every month on their website, but it is a way on the cheap to put your podcast up. You can't track any of, you know, how many people are listening or anything. Mm-hmm. You just know it's out there. Mm-hmm. I think what both of us do is we pay in at about the $20 a month level, which mm-hmm. gives us enough gigabytes to put up an episode every week. And we get to see exactly where in the world we're being downloaded. Mm-hmm. And it's nice what episodes are getting downloaded. So I can't recommend that enough.
And I'm a big fan of it, but, you know, to be honest, Jeremy, to those folks that are listening, I was not originally on Libsyn. You know, I originally started with Podomatic way, way back.
Ooh, okay.
And Podomatic was, you know, free for up to X amount of space.
Sure.
And then eventually I joined. They said, hey, $10 a month, you can get X amount of space. But then what I was discovering was, okay, that's 3 episodes a month, and now I'm out of space, so I have to buy more. And so I think that there are free ways to do it if you want to get started.
You know, let me cut in really quick and just say, I was going to also mention a free route. You know, another podcast we knew, the way they used to put their podcast up for free would be to put it in a Dropbox folder, and then they would just share the link to that folder with their audience. Now,
you know what? That's ingenious. I never thought of that, but that it's free.
It's free.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. You know, you're not tracking your downloads. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That's ahead. Okay. I think that's one thing that you also have to consider when you're planning this out. And then, you know, here, if I may deviate a little bit from it, I got tired of paying $20 a month to Podomatic that I ended up. And again, this is where using your resources. I have a friend that is in the independent comic book scene who had created his own website. And so I went to him, I said, how do you do this? And he said, man, WordPress site. I had no idea. Mm. And he walked me through how to do it. It's all click and drag, because I don't know anything about coding. I know nothing about website design. But I went ahead and just went with the hosting service he had for his website, because to me, I was like, I'd rather pay X amount of dollars and have unlimited control of that.
Sure.
You know, than what I was doing with Podomatic. Right. And so, with all due respect to Podomatic, it was great for the time. But then again, I just upped the game. But then...
You're evolving. You're growing.
Yeah, evolving, yeah.
You need better tools.
And then there were other little different podcast places that wanted to host my podcast, you know. And you mm-hmm. can always go with them. You can always go with them. But again, the bottom line is, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in a little bit here, I wanted to get more concrete data as to who's listening and where. And so that's why I made the jump to Libsyn. And again, for me, and if your budget allows, the $20, or I think they have a $10 feature too, Jeremy. I think they do.
Do they?
I think it's features... 5, 10, and 20. Yeah.
Okay.
So again, you should check out Libsyn. To me, that data was incredibly important over these last, well, I've only been doing it for a couple of months, but it's enlightening. Enlightening. So
yeah, absolutely. And I guess I need to explain, I'm assuming everyone knows exactly what Libsyn is. And in a nutshell, what Libsyn does, what these hosting services do, not only Libsyn, but like Podbean and Podmatic, they take your show and they make a central hub for it. They keep the content there and they give you what's called an RSS feed. I'm sure you probably already know what an RSS feed is if you're planning on making a podcast. But if you don't, it's a link that takes people to your directory. And with Libsyn, you can put, let's say, with iTunes, let's say you give your RSS feed to iTunes, you give your RSS feed to iHeartRadio, you give it to Google Play, you give it to all these different extensions. And all you have to do then is post your episode on Libsyn or Podbean or said hosting service, and it automatically goes to all these different outlets. You don't have to go to iTunes you know, yourself in iHeartRadio. You don't have to go to everyone's door every mm-hmm. week to post your episode. You drop it in that one place and it goes to everybody.
And there's another learning curve for me, because what I did not realize was RSS feeds from a WordPress site do not work with Google Play or iTunes. And it took me literally a year and a half to figure that out and figure out right. a workaround. And again, this is going to sound negative, but this is my experience that
sure.
Apple and iTunes customer service is not that good. I'm sorry. To get a direct right. answer from somebody is near impossible. So, you know, right there was, you talk about wasted time. That was a waste, you know, that year and a half sure. that I spent trying to figure out how to do this and being frustrated. And, you know,
but
not,
you learned from
but
it.
But I learned from
you
it.
You took
I learned
from it.
It. Right.
Yeah,
so, I mean, but again, that getting back to our point, your hosting service that you use is incredibly important. You cannot underestimate how important that piece of the puzzle is.
That's the truth. And, you know, you mentioned something else a little bit earlier too, you know, finding different podcast directories, which I can't, you know, encourage enough to anyone who has a podcast when for looking for exposure. Get it to on as many directories as you can, mm-hmm. which is just seeing how many people accept your RSS feed. And I will say, beware, there are some directories who want, you know, if you're on our directory or you're on our network, this is the only place you can be. You're yeah. exclusive to us. And mm-hmm. I, you know, maybe it's you're a fan of that network and that was your goal from the beginning to get on said network, then go right ahead, knock yourself out. But anytime that's been thrown our way, we're like, we want you on our network, but you can't be on anyone else. Sorry, we got to go. You're limiting your audience. You can never grow past what that website cultivates.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that is something to be aware of if you're new to the game, that happened. I haven't had that.
Your growing is their game.
Right,
make
right.
growing your game.
Yeah, and I haven't experienced that myself, but I've heard tales. I've heard tales of other podcasters that have fallen into that trap.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of syndication, too. One thing, I'm going to kind of get really off track here and mention that there are podcast syndication options out there. This is getting way ahead of ourselves here, but I won't remember it if I don't say it now. Because one thing I ran into recently is we were approached with syndication offers, and I wanted to take them up on it. But one thing I couldn't, because Canned Air, from the beginning, was always a free show, and being a free show, we're like, we'll put copywritten content in there. Who cares? We'll put this song from Transformers in there. We'll put that sound effect from G.I. Joe in there. Who cares? Well, you know, down the road now, we want to become something more legitimate. Now, that's working against us. You know, a network that wants to run you in syndication is going to then say no if you're running copywritten content. Now they're liable. Now you're mm-hmm. liable. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm not going to sit here and say I recommend using copywritten content in any format. If you can get by without, do it. I just do it. I mean, because we're talking about all these things. When we're talking about the Transformers on our show, I'm going to use the Transformers song. So I guess Canned Air will probably never be syndicated for that reason. But that's just something to keep in mind. But yes, do beware. And this is just coming from my personal experience, what I've seen. Beware of the personal directories, unless that's really what you're looking for. But can't imagine it is. Another thing, on posting day, when you are putting your podcast out there, one thing I've been finding a lot recently with, you know, getting ready to post our new show, What If?, is a good thing to do is record like an opening episode, like a 10 to 15, like about me episode to put up, along with maybe your first three episodes right off the bat.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what we did is we put our first one up and then just sat there and watched it and watched nothing happen. Then the next week put one up and nothing happened. And not that people were coming anyway, but what benefit that offers you is, let's say, you know, you put five episodes out on launch day. You get the attention of someone, they hit subscribe. That's five downloads right there.
Mm-hmm.
Right
mm-hmm.
off the bat. Now, not only is that good for you, that's good for the listener, because they now have, this, you know, our podcast is an hour long, so they now have 5 hours of content. You're already going to be ingrained in them if they listen to that, you know? So that's one thing we're going to do with that show. We're going to launch multiple episodes on launch day. I keep hearing that a lot of places. A good thing to do.
Well, I think the other thing that listeners to this podcast should really consider is, and something I didn't know, pick a day to launch, you know, your webs, your particular podcast, excuse me. You pick that day and stick to it. I used to just post episodes whenever, Jeremy, and that's stupid. Ooh, yeah. Like on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a whenever.
Yeah.
No. Then I read a very, very poignant article about podcasts, blogs, vlogs, etc. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it seems so simple, but I didn't know. I didn't know. And so I did pick Thursday because it tends to be personally for me in my personal schedule a slower day. So, you know, that gives me the couple of hours that I need when I get home from work, you know, the regular job that pays the bills. I have a couple of hours in which, hey, I can sit down, I can go ahead and post and publish the episode, I can go ahead and hype the heck out of it, which I know we're going to talk about marketing here in a minute. And you know, and I don't feel rushed where if I picked a Wednesday or a Tuesday or, you know, I really personally don't think posting on a weekend is a good idea, but I know that there are some folks that do that. And again, that's up to you. I personally would never do it because I think too many people are out and about.
Right.
You know, on a Saturday or on a Sunday, you know, especially now with OSU football season coming around, you know.
Right.
You know. So I wouldn't do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but pick a day that's going to be good for you.
And I couldn't agree with you more. You're absolutely right. Consistency is key here. We've always either released on a Wednesday and then it moved to Thursday, but we post on a Thursday night, and which pretty much is Friday morning for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after we stuck to that for a long time, you can see in the downloads that the listeners know that you come out Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And I chose that because, you know, a podcast I used to listen to all the time, they every Friday would put a new episode up, and it made my Friday because I would listen to it at work. It was like part of the hell yeah, the weekend's here experience. Yeah. And if I didn't get to listen to it, it was like, oh crap, it's Monday, but I got that show, you know, that's going to help me get through the day. And, you know, you can see Fridays and Mondays are our biggest downloads, you know, and in the work week, beginning of the work week. So I agree with you during the work week somewhere to help those poor people stuck at their desk that need a little bit of salvation via podcast post during the week. That's my recommendation. Our recommendation. Excuse me. You said it first. It's not mine.
That's okay. That's all right. But it's not copyrighted, so.
One thing that I wanted to say that I forgot was how important iTunes actually is when it comes to hosting your podcast.
It's the most important. It's the there most is
really
used.
Nothing
no, you're right.
More important. iTunes and Apple own the podcasting market for the most part. So if you're one of those people, because I've had so many people like approach me and be like, well, I've been thinking about doing it. Where should I post my podcast? And first thing I say is iTunes. That's where you want to be. And they're like, well, I don't use iTunes, or I don't like iTunes. Get over yourself, okay? I'm just going to be blunt. You're not too good to use iTunes.
Yeah, the millions and millions and millions of other people that like iTunes are the ones you need to worry about.
That's where your audience is. That's where you're going to have the best luck. So if you want a successful podcast, make iTunes that first spot to go. And I can't tell you how easy it is. If anyone makes it easy, it's iTunes. Mm-hmm. When you go to iTunes Store, go to the podcasting store, and it's as easy as on the right hand of the skate, excuse me, on the right side of the page, there's a button that says publish a podcast. You push it, there it brings up a spot to drop your RSS feed, put some info in, and I think two or three days later, you're on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It's that easy. Mm-hmm. So, and again, your biggest audience is there. That's where you want to get, I think if you get enough downloads, you'll be featured in New and Noteworthy, which some podcasts, you know, on how to do a podcast are going to tell you New and Noteworthy on iTunes is absolutely everything. There are other people who will tell you it doesn't mean a darn thing. It's just random. When Candair started, we were in New and Noteworthy. I was stoked. But again, our cover told nothing. Our show title, Canned Air, told nothing to the fact that we talked about comics and pop culture. So we weren't able to take advantage of that. But now with What If, you know, the cover is big, bright, and shiny. It says What If. Just a glance at it kind of lends to what it might be about. And I think the New and Noteworthy is going to come in handy there. So, you know, I don't think New and Noteworthy is a guaranteed thing, but that's where you are in the spotlight. People are going to see you in New and Noteworthy. I think you're up there for 10 days, I think it was, something like that. So take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye out on iTunes when you do post. And if you do make it into New and Noteworthy, that's the time to market, which brings us right to our next topic at hand, marketing. John, when it comes to marketing, what do you do for a PVD cast?
Wow. I got to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with the listeners. This is probably the most time-consuming part for me. I feel that marketing is... It could be a whole full-time job in itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really could. I mean, I started off with just, I had the Twitter account already for me. And so I decided, because I was using wrestling for Twitter, I was using Twitter for wrestling. So I was like, well, I'll just link it to that, you know, sure. And that'll be the at PVD MVP. That's where I'll post all the stuff about the PVD cast. And so I started using that, but then I got stickers made. I'm going to start handing out stickers all around town, sure. which I did. And that was great. And then came business cards. And then I decided to go ahead and get the postcards, which you have here in the studio, sure, up on the wall, and started handing those out. And why those are, I'm not downplaying those by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. They're equally as important, I feel, as anything you do social media wise. I think still, I get my biggest impact and biggest interactions with people on Twitter. There is a Facebook page for the PVD cast, but it is probably, I'd say, newer. I think I've been doing it for maybe just now, maybe a year, I think, if I would look back at my records. But I've had tremendous success with Twitter than I have with Facebook. I'm not a huge fan of Instagram. There is a PVD cast Instagram, I will not lie, but... Listeners, this is just me, and by all means, Jeremy, I know you have an Instagram account for the Canned Air podcast, and if that's something you like and comfortable, I just never was really comfortable with adding photos because it was very photo-based with Instagram. Sure. Then it used to drive me crazy, and so I stopped using it. I still use it. Basically, you can find it. If you would look in Instagram, you'll find the PVD cast, but I really just kind of closed it off and just kind of use it for contacting potential guests.
Right.
I don't like it. That's just my own personal thing.
So agreed.
I think that when you get into, just as we said at the beginning of the show, you got to find something that you're passionate about and you're comfortable with. The same thing in terms of how you get the marketing out there. So for me, Instagram, not comfortable with it.
It kind of goes to what I was just about to say. What you're saying is making yourself just as accessible as possible in all formats as possible. You know, not only having your own website, but, you know, like John's saying, Instagram, Twitter, whatever social media forces that be, Facebook, make yourself present. Now, Canned Air is only, you know, Twitter being our primary. Now, we do have an Instagram. It's a lot harder to cultivate one followers on Instagram, I find, than it is on Twitter. And two, from a marketing standpoint, Instagram can be difficult because you can't put clickable links. You can't take somebody straight from Instagram to your show's website like you can on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, Instagram is where the people are at. So at the same time, I'm right in your boat, John. I do not like Instagram personally. But we use it not as much as we do Twitter. I want to change that. I'd like to with What If. I want to make that change. Mm-hmm. Make What If make Instagram one just as relevant as Twitter. But all these things are great to be using. You want, you know, even if it's not a picture of yourself, you can find something online. That's what we do a lot of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like we just
silly gifts. You guys like to put a lot of silly gifts
silly
out there,
gifts.
Which definitely, you
which
know.
I can't recommend enough. I was telling Jake, I said, when it comes to a post, if you're putting a picture, put the picture away and find a GIF, because that's what I click on. When I see a picture, you're looking, okay, but a GIF, I'll stop and wait for it to play out. And if it makes me laugh, I'll click on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an attention grabber. So I'll throw that out there too. I'm glad you mentioned that. GIFs over pictures when it comes to social media like that, for sure.
And here you go back to the shared resources. What resources do you have out there? You know, you, met with a marketing individual
right
here in town, a local individual that specializes in marketing. You met with her. And then you told me about him,
Right.
And I went and talked to her as well. And while I felt like I had a pretty good grasp of social media and social marketing, she even taught me a couple of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so even those small little nuggets of information helped me out tremendously.
Like, sure.
You know, one of the things she recommended was, you know, make it easy on yourself. And I would absolutely stress. I can't stress this enough to anybody that's starting a podcast. If you can find some of those online tools like Buffer.com, for an example, that
sure.
allows you, and it's free, people. If you use one account, you'll get 10. I use it for Twitter, for an example. So on, as I told Jeremy, I'll quote unquote live tweet on Thursday night because I have a new episode out. But then I'll take a few minutes on Thursday night and it will let you automatically just spit out your tweets based on whatever time schedule you put in.
Sure.
So for Friday, I go ahead that Thursday night, I'll load up Fridays and maybe even sometimes Saturday mornings, and then I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. When I'm at work at 10 a.m., boom, there's the first tweet.
Sure.
7 p.m., boom, there's the next one. You know, 10 a.m. Saturday, boom, there's that one. And then Saturday morning, I sit down and schedule out the rest of the week.
Click it and forget it.
Exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly. And I know Facebook has a similar thing as well, but, you know, use the technology to help you.
That's a great tool to mention, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when we first started, you know, before Jake came to the picture, we started our Twitter and we'd maybe throw a tweet up that we kind of would chuckle at, but, and then sit there and watch that one tweet for like 2 days, you know, like, well, why aren't people liking it? Well, let me tell you why, because it gets lost in the ether in the snap of a finger. It as quickly as it posts, it just starts going down the waterfall of posts into the unseen and the unknown. So, great advice. Not, you know, not only posting multiple times a day, but if you can't find the time to do that, set up either on Buffer or Facebook or Twitter might, I have an option to do that. I don't remember, but they might, whatever forces that be that allow you to schedule those things ahead of time. That is a great thing to take advantage of. Can't recommend that enough. And, another thing that we do, this costs money though, is Facebook ads, which is you pay maybe $5, $10, $15 for so many days, or I don't remember how it works. Jack primarily takes care of that. But, you know, for instance, what we do with it, you know, we advertise for Wizard World conventions a lot. We have a promo code that gets people 10% off. So, for instance, we see that, the Comic-Con is going to next be in San Francisco. We'll hit up California and we'll target San Francisco in marketing. We'll dedicate all of our advertising to San Francisco and, you know, hope that they'll use that promo code. And the same can kind of be done with the show. If you are a Libsyn user, you and I were looking at the geographical map that it gives you. It gives you a map of the world that you can click on and see where your downloads are coming from. And, you know, when we click on the United States, in our case, in particular, Ohio and California are our biggest. For some reason, like San Francisco, Silicon Valley, like,
see, I was the same way for a long time. San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose.
Yeah.
Was my second, and now it's all the Washington D.C. area. Like DC, Hagerstown, Roanoke, like that area, you know.
So right there is a good look into where people are listening.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that we just said that because now I know that a lot of my high points are your high points too.
Yeah.
So going forward, we can say like Washington, D.C., California areas, where when it comes to advertising new episodes or when we have a special guest on, that's probably where we're going to target those advertising. That's where the listening base is. Not that the rest of the world isn't going to be able to see it or have privy to it, but you know where your audience is. If you are paying for Libsyn, use Libsyn to its fullest. And I can't even say that I'm using it to its fullest abilities because there are so many things on there to learn how to do, tools to help you along your path. And there are even tiers, John, higher than what
pay. Yeah, right. Correct.
I'm not even sure what additional benefits they could shower onto us. But, I mean, it's been amazing. And that's just one of the many benefits is being able to see where you're being downloaded and
see,
marketing as such.
I think in terms of marketing, I'm going to disagree with you with the Facebook posts.
Okay.
When you purchase the posts to advertise and boost it as they claim. I've done it a few times and I don't know if I've seen any increase in listeners. I got to be honest with you. To me, when I have an episode, a case in point, in January, I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to WWE legend, the Brooklyn Brawler. So I'm going to throw some money that way to boost that post and to advertise it around Facebook. I really don't feel like I got, I maybe got like 10 more people. And I'm like, for the price, I don't really feel that was the most bang for my buck.
I you bring up the targeting more as an example in my case with the Wizard World thing. I mean, we do use target advertising, but we use it primarily on Wizard World. So, you know, when they're going to a city and people are getting reared up for them to come to town, you know, marketing there makes sense for us. We can see that in the return. Well, this is how many people used your code in Chicago or in that case. But you're absolutely right. When it comes to the case of the wrestler, it's hard to say, well, this state likes this guy or this part of the world likes it. You can't. It's hard to narrow in on anywhere like that.
And you know what? I'm not the only one. And I'll tell the listeners out there, there's a lot of podcasters that agree with me on that, that they don't feel like boosting that post for their episode that's come out. It really is beneficial.
I think it just matters on how you do it. How you do it. Because we have seen the payoff from it. Just from the money we got back from Wizard World through our advertising. You know, I know we're doing something right there. But maybe as you don't have someone to market to directly for the wrestler you were in talking about. I'm sorry, who was
it? The Brooklyn Brawler.
Thank you. You know, going back, you said you can already see that San Jose, San Francisco, and Maryland, those are your top three places. Maybe you can target in on those three. Maybe you would see a higher return that way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
maybe. I think going at it, was this only the one time you tried it?
Oh, I've tried it a couple of other times.
And
as
all
well.
The times were not successful.
Yeah, they were not successful. But again, folks, if you're listening at home, this is what you have to do. You have to do trial and error.
Yeah.
And you have to decide for yourself as you hear Jeremy and I discussing this, you know. It didn't work for me, but that doesn't mean that A, I'm doing it right, or B, that it wouldn't work for you.
Right.
You know, exactly. But again, I'm just throwing it out there as a cautionary tale that you may sit down and go, I don't know if this $20 I spent, was it worth the amount that I spent for what I got back?
There's definitely been times we have not seen return, and we just watched the money disappear from our account, and for what? But so I guess it just depends. Again, marketing to make the show money, that's what really worked for us in that area. What else here? What else?
I'm going to throw out something for marketing as well.
Go ahead.
The other thing that I really think, and specifically for me, since Twitter is what I do very well with, I get very good impressions. I get a lot of great data from Twitter that a lot of people are interacting with me.
Sure.
But it helps to have, again, those resources of people who can retweet you. People that are willing to get
behind
you.
Man, you're like picking these things out of my brain. This is what they're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go back here to talk about the Brooklyn Brawler. He, obviously a big name in the world of professional wrestling, he gave me some retweets. He gave me some, you know, likes on my tweets about him. And I think that helped out more than actually posting and boosting those posts on Facebook. So, you know, if you can get those people, and you know, and unfortunately, there's been some folks that I've had that are, quote, big names, end quote, that never, you know, because all of my tweets revolve around that there's guests on there. You know, if you look here, again, real quickly, episode 166 that's up, you know, I have my two wrestling guys on that we did a wrestling roundtable about some wrestling topics. I'm always tagging them in there.
Right.
You know, hey, you know, at DJ Joey Blaze, at whatever, you know, and I do that no matter who it is, just so that, you know, again, this is what's going to be in this episode. Click, you know, go to pvdcast.com, whatever. If you have those big names that aren't helping you by saying, oh, hey, simple retweet, you know, that can be problematic.
Very.
Because, you know, if you're like me, you're thinking, yes, I have so-and-so. They've been in this. They've done that. Man, I tagged them in this. I'm sure they can give me a retweet, right? You know, or even interact with me. That would be great. But don't get your hopes up, because it may not happen.
Sure. And a lot of the times it doesn't. You know, when we start getting celebs on the show, boy, it is amazing. And I guess we won't stop doing it. We did slow down quite a bit for that very reason, because celeb episodes are so much harder to promote. In our case, you know, every week we welcome a new comic creator or writer, somebody who's there to market themselves. You know, when the celebs come on, they don't really need you. They're just kind of humoring you. Maybe they've got a new project around the bend that they need to promote sometimes, but for the most time, it's just like they're humoring us, like nostalgic, you know, like they know we want to talk to them on a fan level or something. So Yeah, then they'll never retweet it. In the episode, you'd think, well, this one will get a ton of downloads because it has so-and-so attached to it. Not the case.
No.
Not the case. I want to say at all, but we had James Rolfe, the Angry Video Game Nerd, on. And before he even retweeted it once, man, that thing had dwarfed, like in the day one, 300 downloads. Because he's an internet name, you know what I'm saying? Like people online are already searching him. That's his medium. That's where he's popular. Where I'm trying to think of another example. Well, Jason Mewes, for example, you know, we had him. We sat down with him at a Hard Rock Cafe, and people didn't gravitate toward it because, you know, after we were done talking to him, he didn't think about it again. He didn't retweet that episode. Which, not that he should have. He did what he was supposed to do. He held up his end of the obligation. Thank you, Jason. But,
and yet, on the other hand, there'll be episodes where I'm like, well, okay, this is X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people have heard of him or her because they're putting out this indie comic book. And man, they go through the roof.
Yes.
And you're like, wait, what? So that's the other thing that as you're starting your podcast, folks, that be aware of. It's sometimes very hard to predict which episodes are going to be, you know, awesome and go gangbusters,
right,
and other ones that won't. It's very difficult.
One thing that I just realized I'm going to have to start doing is typically when we have a comic creator on the show, they'll reach out to us. Can I come on and promote? And if I look at the book and if it looks good, I'm like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And then it's the day before that we record the episode with that person that I get on their Twitter account and see they only have 10 followers. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
I got my work cut out for me. Mm-hmm. So it's to the point now where just because I want to keep growing the audience to bigger, I have to start kind of screening who we have on the show. Well, do you have enough followers to help us out? Because it has to be a kind of a give take.
Yeah.
I guess what we're getting at here, people, in a nutshell, is look for every avenue possible to promote yourself. You know, like John's saying, the retweet is a powerful thing if that other person has a lot of followers. And one thing we started doing, because we have a whole segment where we just talk about comics we've read in the past, it was like, we could use that to market ourselves. Let's start talking about indie comics only in that section, or web comics that we found online, and tagging every creator on that book with every time we talk about it. So right there, we've added, you know, 3 to 6 new tags for that episode, which, you know, you might, of those six, get maybe 1 or 2 to retweet, which goes a long way.
Yeah.
So just find as many ways as possible without looking spammy to, because that is such a turnoff. If you look like you're just jumping in forums and dropping your link, or you're just, you know, putting a million hashtags behind, you know, everything you put out there.
I'll divulge, the rule of thumb is 2 hashtags in a tweet. Anything more than 2, it's considered spam. So if you're thinking about starting your own podcast, there you go. There's some advice.
There you go. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, 2. If you do any more than 2, it gives that indication that you might be spammy.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely just 2 in each tweet.
Get people to leave reviews and subscribe on iTunes. Leaving reviews on iTunes, we're at the end now, and I'm just kind of like everything that kind of rolling off off the top of my head now. But and this has been difficult, but worth the payoff is getting people to leave you reviews on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Because if you get enough of them and you get them consistently enough, that will bump you up in the rankings and the showcasing in iTunes, which will then get you obviously more downloads. So
I'm in the same spot you are right now with my notes. I'm just throwing out as well. So people at home, sorry for the like very randomness of my comments, but I think another important aspect, and just because this happened to me this past weekend, always learn from other people.
Yes.
You know, I was at, I was at StarCast out in Chicago, and also at All In, the big wrestling show out there. And, you know, they had tons of podcasters. A lot of them were mom and pop podcasters that paid their money to be there. But you know what? I would talk to them. Hey, what do you do for this? How do you do this? How do you do that? And you know what? I'll be honest. One gentleman told me exactly what I do. So number one, that made me feel good. Like, oh, you know, shit, man, I'm doing things right.
Yeah, yeah.
But number two, I mean, I listened to him and I thanked him. And when I walked away, I said to my buddy, I said, I already do all that stuff. But, you know, but you get, you know.
Yeah, I don't need you.
Yeah. But you get ideas from talking to other people, you know, asking them. Like, my whole thing is I was looking at a lot of, like, how do you set things up? How are you, what mics are you using? How do you set this up? You know, and I was not afraid to ask them because that's how you learn. You'll learn from one another. You know, this city of Columbus, Ohio has a great podcasting community.
Mm-hmm.
Really does.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't think of any experience that I've had with any fellow podcaster from Central Ohio that has been cutthroat or wanted to, you know, don't talk to me because you're competition, right, or have that mindset. And that, again, goes into that finding that resource of people that can help you. That's incredibly important.
Yeah, exactly. Always have ears of ground for people around who can help because, you know, I know we've said a million times, but just you and me sitting here across from each other spouting these facts, that, you know, our experiences, I've learned stuff, you've learned stuff, and hopefully people at home are learning stuff too. And I guess the biggest thing I have to leave this with is, unless you had anything else.
I think my only other thing that I was going to mention is I know that there's probably going to be some questions about, you know, monetizing, and I think that I'm in no certain position to give any advice on monetizing. I think my only thing that I can say is I just recently, and you did as well, I helped you with it, is I created an LLC for the podcast so that I have legal protection and I have some write-offs that I can use.
Right.
But in terms of using Patreon to make money or sponsorships from other companies, you know, it's out there. Research them. See what you can come up with if you're starting your own podcast. But, you know, it's tough out there. It's tough.
It's
odd for me because I don't have a very acute sense of, like, finance.
Right.
And sometimes you have to have that. And so by no means am I saying, oh, monetization's not important.
No, it all depends on what your goals are.
Right.
If that's what your goal, then yeah, Patreon is a great method. I mean, not that I can say I've done anything masterful. We have a little tiny income from Patreon, and I have a new format laid up for the new show, What If, when it premieres, and hopefully that'll pan out better. But just get on Patreon, look what other podcasts are doing. Obviously, if they've got a lot of backers, then they're doing something right. So look at their format. Learn from it. Like John's saying, always learn, even from your bad experiences. And the biggest thing I can say is, well, one, people make it look so easy. People make it look like getting a lot of money, a lot of downloads and stuff is an easy thing to do. And it is not. It is not. No. Don't get discouraged is the biggest thing I can leave you with. There have been so many times I've wanted to just pull the plug and, you know, Jack will be like, oh, don't, or let's wait, or something will make me change my mind. And I'll just be like, okay. And like a month later, I'm like, I can't imagine had I pulled the plug.
Yeah.
We had an experience this past March. We had one of our, we had a celeb on the show, somebody that I looked up to, admired. And when we had him on, was a complete asshole. And I don't mean just being rude, outright called us fuckheads and all kinds of things. I mean, and let me tell you what, nothing took the wind out of my sails like that experience. But we got through it. You know, after that, we didn't have a lot of celebs on. So we thought, you know, we're already not getting a lot of payback from having celebs on. And now we have them cussing us out. So to hell with it, you know, but we're getting back into it now. But that's just my biggest advice. Don't get discouraged. Stay with it and be honest with yourself. Listen to your content. Listen to your own show. Don't think you're too good to listen to your own stuff. I've come across people that way too. Like, well, I'm not going to listen to my own show. It's self-serving. Well, who the hell do you think you are, buddy? You have to go through a quality control process. That's what I do. After I record the episode, if I finish the editing in enough time before I post, I'll put it on my iPod, throw in some earbuds, and I'll listen to it. And so many times, I'm so glad I did, because I'll hear, oh, I forgot to edit that little clip out, or oh, I left like 5 seconds of dead air there. Mm-hmm. A QC process, quality control, is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. So don't be too proud to listen to your stuff and critique it. Yeah, that's how you grow. If you don't critique yourself, if you don't listen to yourself and be honest with yourself about your content, it's going to stay the same. And another thing you said earlier, evolving, constantly changing, to keep people interested is a necessity. So just keep at it. Don't get discouraged. Hang in there another day and you'll be so glad you did. And I just hope you guys all have such an experience with it as John and I have had. That's been amazing. I can't imagine a life not podcasting now.
Like, no.
It's changed my life.
Yeah, same with me. I feel like, here, I just mentioned I was out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was out in Chicago. I ran into a comic book creator and podcaster that I've had on my show that I didn't know was supposed to be out there. And we hung out. And then also met up with a couple of other friends that were podcast. In fact, they've been on my podcast. They went out from Columbus. So I've made new friends.
It makes the world smaller, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And it's a great community. I'm just going to leave my one thing that I'm going to leave with. If you're sitting and you're listening to us and you're saying, I want to start a podcast, do it.
That's seriously, the first, just do it.
Make up your mind that you can do it. Use what we've talked about and go find other people and get their advice in that. But do it. If you want to do it, do it. Well, don't make any excuses. Yeah.
And that's the attitude I took, and I just did it, and I made a ton of mistakes, John.
Yeah.
A ton. But that's part of the package.
Exactly.
It's part of the package.
Exactly.
It's part of the experience. And here I am now, stronger from it. And, you know, going to start another show, going to make Canned Air stronger as a result. It's all uphill. It's all
exactly.
uphill. So, John, I want to thank you for coming out here and doing this. This has been a blast and
it's been very
insightful. Yeah. I hope people have found this very helpful. And I encourage our listeners of this episode, if you do have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out to either myself or John. You can reach out to me at CannedAirPodcast.com or on Twitter at CannedAirPod. John, where can people reach out to you?
You can reach me via email, JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com, or you can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP, or if you even want to leave a message on the Facebook page, Facebook.com/PVDcast, and I will be happy to tell you what I know and try to get you in the right direction. All right.
Yeah, same for Canned Air, too, on the Facebook page. That's another great place to reach out. But yeah, if you have any questions, if you think we said something wrong, if we've forgotten something, because again, we're not professionals here. Mm-hmm. We just have a lot of experience in what, doing mediocre potting? I don't know. I think we do pretty damn good in our
You know what I always describe it? The PVD cast is a moderately successful podcast.
Hey, there you
like
go.
That?
I do. I like that.
Moderately successful.
You're a wordsmith. I like that. I like that. So, again, everyone, I hope you found this helpful. And, any questions, please reach out to us. But and if we do get enough questions and feedback from it, I would like to do a follow-up to this. Again, considering we get enough to do a follow-up with. But, excited to hear what you guys say. And best of luck to anyone out there who's wanting to start a podcast. It's a lot of work, but my God, it's a lot of fun. So until next time, I'm Jeremy Colley.
I'm John Orlando.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.